Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
This is the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and Kevin Snook joins me from Bangkok. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Janet.
So last time when we were talking, we were going to go into what to do about customer complaints or consumer feedback. And in the world of manufacturing, like, this is big business. There's a lot of product being pushed through constantly. And I guess you cannot necessarily be super reactionary when a customer complains or when there's a massive consumer feedback. So how do you manage through that process of that consumer or customer feedback?
Okay, so I think first of all, you need to know about it. You know, it sounds very simple, but I've worked with companies that have had no system for picking up complaints from customers. And that's a terrible situation to be in, because that's like driving blind. You're pumping products out of the factory with no way to know whether the consumers are happy with them or whether there's areas that you could be improving. I always see complaints as a positive. You know, if you get complaints and you can study those well and you can work closely with the consumer that gave you that complaint, then you can learn something new. And actually, during that process, you can also build a friend. And we can talk a little bit more about that later. But so the first thing I would say is that you need to know what's happening with your product in the market. And you need to have a way for consumers and customers to be able to very easily get in touch with you and say whether they're happy or not happy. If you don't have that in place, what's going to happen, especially in the days of social media, is people are going to complain on social media, and all of a sudden you're going to have a huge snowball effect of issues that come at you. So let's say that the first step is to be able to collect those customer complaints so that you have an opportunity to deal with them. And then once you start to get that information into your sales department or your marketing department or wherever you have, you know, whichever your department is talking directly to the customer, then you have to have a very clear process to deal with that through to the factory floor, where there's an opportunity to find out what happened and find out what needs to be done, you know, to make an improvement for the future.
So I guess when you get that complaint, there's two responses that have to happen. One has to go back to the customer. One has to go to the factory. So everything, you've got a happy customer realizing that things are going to change, and then you've got the factory knowing that there is a problem and that things have to change.
Yeah, and if we look at the customer point of view, that's an incredibly important touch point. Whenever you have a real customer, you know, the only way any company brings money into the business is through the customers, through the people buying the products. Everybody else in the business is an expense. And so we have to keep those customers on our side. We have to find out what's going on with them so that we can continue to serve them. And that customer, if they have taken the time to complain back to you, is doing you a great service, is doing you a great favor. The people that are more difficult are the customers that won't complain to you or can't get through to you, and then they go and complain to other people. So let's assume that the customer has complained to us. You know, we've got a clear message that says something was wrong for me. Then that touch point with that person really has to be around very openly finding out more details about what went wrong. You know, what was the specific defect? What was the date on the packaging that it was produced? You know, tell me as much as you can about what happened during that process so that we can then take that information back and feed it the opposite direction back to our factory. Now, at that point, the conversation with the consumer is something like, thank you so much for letting us know about this. We take this very seriously. We'd like to get as much information as possible so that we can make sure this never happens again. And this is what we will do to keep you happy in some way. The company needs to have a process, a procedure to follow for that. Once the factory comes up with some answers, it's a very important step to go back to the customer and say, hey, look, we did do what we said we were going to do, and we've found a few things that we're going to improve, and we want to thank you again for, you know, helping us make these improvements in our company. And if you can do that in an effective way, you're building a friend. You're actually building a friend out of that customer or consumer. Even though you created a problem for them, you then have an opportunity to make it right and, you know, put them on your side. As we go through the process within the factory, the more information that a factory can get about the specific defect, the more likely they are to be able to find the right solution. And the key is to get down to the root cause of the problem and then put a systemic fix in place so that that problem will never happen again.
So is this when you're dealing with a customer complaint, is it best to make it a one-on-one thing? Do you get people to fill out a survey? How do you go about this that it's you're getting the best touch with that customer so they realize that they are being served?
I would say in as many cases as possible, that ought to be one-to-one. And I've worked in some very big companies with a lot of different products going to millions of people. But the best companies are still dealing with consumer complaints on a one-to-one basis. And so, yes, it takes Salesforce. Yes, it takes a help desk or some touch point. But that one-to-one human feedback loop, I think, is extremely important.
Now, is there any time when it is best to stay quiet when you get a customer complaint?
I actually brought that up as an option once with a large company I was working with, and I got pretty, you know, heavily berated for it. And so I've fallen into that category. Now, actually, I just suggested that was an alternative approach that needed to be considered. But in most of the cases, the answer to that would be, you know, of course there's an option to do that, but the answer would be no. There needs to be a feedback loop to the customer. Even if the customer is wrong, even if it was not a defective product, there needs to be a conversation with that customer to let them know that you appreciate them as a customer. This is actually was in specification or whatever, but you know, you appreciate their feedback, and you're in some way you're going to compensate them for having the conversation that you're having.
So the customer isn't necessarily always right.
No, and you know, each product has a set of specifications that it ought to be produced within. And the job of a manufacturing department is to produce product to specifications. Now, as much as possible, we want to run to target, which means that you're running in the middle of those specifications, not on the high end or the low end. But the fact is, every manufacturing facility, every manufacturing product has a range of specs. And so if you're one side of, you know, if you're on the high side of the specification, but it's in specification, then effectively that is a good product. And what you need to be able to do is have the conversation with the customers, say, hey, look, thank you. You've noticed something, you know, at a higher level of our specification, but it is in spec. And this is what we intend to do about that. So I would say there's never any good reason to ignore customer feedback. There's always an opportunity to build rapport and actually to build, you know, a big supporter if you build understanding with that person.
Right. So I'm sure that in many companies, there's a customer that comes along with an idea for an improvement. So if you've got, you know, projects and improvements that have been, you know, put up front, what's the best way to prioritize these issues or projects and say, yeah, there's some of these we can do and some of these we can't?
Okay, now if we're talking about quality, this can be a little bit of a challenge because sometimes it's difficult to measure the impact of quality on the bottom line. So basically on dollars. Now, there's a lot of companies that have gone to the extent of trying to do that, you know. So specifically, what is one customer worth for us? Specifically, what is one type of defect worth for us? And then if we put an improvement in place, are we going to get a good return on investment for working on that particular quality issue? Now, I would say that if you have product that is regularly out of specification, so a defective quality product, then that needs to be very high on your radar. You know, if you're a company that can't meet its commitment to its consumers, that's a serious problem. And you know, you need to be fixing that as a high priority. If you're within specifications, but, you know, consistently a little bit high or consistently a little bit low, then what you want to be doing with that is a return on investment calculation. So you have what we sometimes call a prioritization matrix. We'd say, what is the project? Specifically in certain categories, how is that going to affect our performance with a consumer or even within the business itself? And then how do we prioritize based on that, you know, and find the most critical issues that we want to solve? And then what's the return on investment? So if we spend $1 million on this project, are we going to get $3 million back? If so, over what period of time? And then you can start to see which are the priority projects that are coming up for you.
So the ROI part is that the part that justifies the budget for that change.
Yeah, so every business needs to be growing and making profit. And so a great way to rank your improvement projects is by doing an ROI calculation.
Okay. Now, who has the final decision? Once you've got all the data in to say yes or no that we can make this thing fly, who makes that final decision and who says whether you do it right now or you postpone it for a time?
Well, that would be the budget holder for whichever department you're in. Now, what I like to do is be able to take that budget to the lowest possible level of, let's say as close to the front line as possible. So I really want the people on the front line to be able to make a certain level of decisions and to have their own budgetary control and measures. So for example, if they need a new tool that is going to help them detect a certain type of defect before it gets, you know, becomes a defect or gets out of the factory, I want them to be able to spend a certain amount of money and buy a tool if that's what they believe is the right thing to do. Now, as those levels of money increase, it's probably going to go higher in the ranks of the company, to be able to make those decisions. So it really depends on at what level you're comfortable people making decisions based on certain budgets.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Kevin. I think we're out of time. But next time when we're chatting, we're going to talk about the CEO, because the CEO comes along and he does these factory tours to look at the manufacturing facilities. And we're going to drill down and find out what the CEO is looking for and what he should be presenting to the people on the front line so that they feel that they're doing a good job or not. So look forward to chatting to you again, Kevin.
Yeah, that's going to be a great one, because I've seen a lot of CEOs make a lot of mistakes in factories. And if we can help reduce that a little bit, it'll be great.
Okay, great. We'll talk to you then. You've been listening to the Make It Right podcast, and you can find it on iTunes and at lucidi4.com. Make It Right. And we hope you'll share it with your colleagues, because we have lots of interesting topics coming up in the future. Thanks very much for listening.